Good morning, church. Good morning. Lift your voice and worship your creator. That's one of my favorite Phil Wickham songs right now, and I love that video, and that video goes wonderful with what we're going to talk about today in the message. The incredible gift that God has given to us in his creation. Title of the message this morning is All Thy Works. And the main text is going to be Psalm 104, if you can turn there in your Bibles with me. While you're getting there, I wanted to say a little bit about the class that I'm going to be starting here the next couple of weeks, the baptism discipleship class. It's going to start at 9:30 a.m. for 4 Sundays. And if you are interested in being that class, I'm going to be a greeter this morning as you leave. And so please let me know. It is a class that is for those who have received Christ and want to be baptized. If you've already been baptized, you want to become a member of the church here, you're welcome to join us and you can join us as well. If you're just curious about the Christian faith and want to know what we talk about in these discipleship classes, you are welcome to join us as well. So just let me know who all would like to be a part of that today. The themes that we're going to cover in the 4 weeks are believe in God, belong in community, become mature, and behave like Christ. And so, like I said, if you would like to be a part of that, just let me know. There are so many scriptures that we could look at this morning in relation to God's creation. Back in January, Emily brought a wonderful message that was titled Harmony in Worship, in which she connected, you know, the many ways that we can worship the Lord. And creation was one of them that she mentioned. And I agree with her. I went back and watched her message back from January, partly for inspiration for this morning. And also I wanted to hear again what she had shared. But I agree with her when she said this. She said, we need to be sure that we worship God and not creation itself. Our worship is always of the Creator and the Creator only. Too often today, people worship the gift instead of the one who gave us the gift. And so we've already heard the first chapter of Genesis read this morning, where it all began. And so ourselves as human beings, of course, are a part of God's creation. And the Bible says that we are created in his image. And so because of all that, we need to lift our voice and worship our Creator, as that song proclaims. You know, there are many times that I'm sitting at home and on my TV, I will pull up a YouTube video of creation just, you know, around the world, kind of like the Phil Wickham video had there in many instances. But I like to just do that to immerse myself in the wonders of God and his created world. And there are some out there on YouTube that run for like 5 hours or so, if you just want to start it. And some of them have music. Most of them have music, but I don't always listen to the music. I just enjoy the creation. And so I found that for me, it's a way for me to appreciate God's creation and also worship the Creator at the same time. So this morning, instead of putting verses and other things on the screen, I'm just going to run one of those videos while we praise God for this wonderful gift that he has given us and show his appreciation for his creation. We aren't going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 104. I'm going to read the first 9 verses and then I'll tell you where we're going after that. So beginning with verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. Now skipping down to verse 24 and 25. It says, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. And then going to the end of the chapter, verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to try to not be distracted this morning by all the wonderful scenery on the screen. What an incredible world we live in. Country singer Larry Fleet has a new song that is titled Things I Take for Granted. I often wonder if we don't do that with God's creation. Do we look at our universe and our solar system, our world, the human body, the vast array of animals in our world, and give praise to God as often as we should? Or do we too often take it for granted? Let's begin with the universe. Genesis 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God created light and dark. The universe came into being. There are many different ways that people view creation. Some have an old earth view of creation, which means that it was created millions or billions of years ago. Some have a new earth viewpoint, which points to creation being around 6,000 to 10,000 years old. Some view the creation account in Genesis as a literal 7 days, while there are others who view it as an account of what happened over maybe many years. And some people don't even believe in or credit God with creation. I don't want us to get distracted this morning by those kind of arguments or disagreements. However, I do want us to realize that God is the creator and we are the created. That is one thing that we can be sure of. All of this didn't just happen out of nothing, and people were not created to live on this earth as we do by just some happenstance that happened many years ago. God's fingerprints are over all of the universe, our world, and his purpose for us as human beings living on this earth. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. We should never, ever take that for granted. Just consider the universe and our solar system, the light and the dark that I mentioned. There are more planets and stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches around the world. Isn't that mind-blowing? I mean, that's just wow. We witnessed the solar eclipse this past week, which is pretty cool. But did you know that you could fit 1.3 million Earths into the size of that sun? 1.3 million. C.S. Lewis once said, he said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else. One day on the planet Mercury, which is in our solar system, is the same as 167 days here on Earth. And you know, we know the other planets in our solar system are not inhabited by people, like the earth is. And so, you know, why is that? It's because the earth is God's chosen planet. At least his chosen planet for life to exist and be able to sustain it itself. It truly is amazing, you know, if you think about it, how the earth is situated just right with the sun and everything else to provide us with the four seasons and the water and the temperatures that can sustain life. It gives us sources of food for people and animals and human beings, us, to manage it and to look after it all. In Psalm verse 24 of this Psalm 104, the psalmist said, "How many are your works, Lord? In your wisdom, you make them all. The earth is full of your creatures." In verse 25, it goes on to talk about the creatures of the sea as well. How could we not worship our Creator for all of this? How could we not praise God for his amazing wisdom and creativity that is seen throughout all of creation? Here are several did you know facts about those creatures that it mentions. Did you know that the Greenland shark in the oceans in the northern hemisphere can live up to 400 years? Did you know that the giant tortoises of the Galapagos Islands can weigh around 550 pounds? That's the same weight as a brown bear, a large brown bear. Did you know that a blue whale's tongue can weigh up to 8,000 pounds? How would you like to carry that around? And here's one that just blows my mind. A garden snail. If you see a garden snail this spring, a garden snail can have up to 14,000 teeth. I mean, how is that possible? Seriously. All things are possible if God is the creator, which he is. And then, you know, you look at the places that we are seeing on the screen this morning, and I wish I could visit each one of them just to take it all in person. The psalmist, when he says, "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." And, you know, surely some of the places, these places developed over time to look as they do today. The Grand Canyon, of course, is a great example of that. But God is the developer. God is the creator. And it is in his infinite creativity and wisdom that we are blessed with these wonderful places around the world today. And of course, you know, as we enter into the spring season here, we're going to start to see gardens be planted, fields be planted, which is just another incredible part of creation, of course. You know, how does that little seed in the ground get planted and grow into something so big and multiply as it does? I mean, if that were not the case, we could not survive and live here on this earth. It's almost, you know, as crucial as having water to drink in order to survive. Well, I heard one of our farmers, Michael Yoder, give a demonstration about this one time. So I asked him if he would come up and give us a short description of how the corn stalk works that we're going to see growing this summer. So, Michael, tell us a little bit, and I'll give you that mic there. Yeah,
I didn't know it was just on corn, so I wasn't prepared for that. But really, corn plants and bean plants, and Glenn gave me 2 minutes to give an hour-long talk here, so I'll talk fast. But, you know, plants, corn, and soybeans, they're really complex plants that can take energy from the sun, turn into starches and sugars and energy sources that we can all use that's critical for life on Earth. And they use a myriad of nutrients to do that. They have to have oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen and calcium and sulfur and zinc and phosphorus and potassium and all the right balances of all those nutrients to make it happen. And they have symbiotic relationships. And to get all that, I've got a jar of dirt here with me. And inside the jar of dirt, anybody guess how many microbes are living inside here? There's more microbes that I'm holding right now than there are human beings on the earth. There's a lot going on inside here. And these microbes, they break down the soil and they give the nutrient availability to these plants. And they have a symbiotic relationship. And one of the symbiotic relationships is with soybeans. Actually, there is a microbe in here that can latch onto the roots of soybeans. And it can help it take nitrogen from the air and turn it into a usable form, so it latches on there. Those nitrogen molecules are actually, soybeans came from China, in case you guys didn't know. So we actually imported dirt from China, so I'm holding a bunch of immigrants in here that came back, in case you guys didn't know that. So they can take the nitrogen from the air, and they have a symbiotic relationship where the soybeans keep those microbes alive, and the microbes keep the plants alive. Soybeans are also pretty incredible. They have vegetative states and reproductive states. And so the way that they can go from vegetative to reproductive states is they can actually tell the nighttime length and the daytime length. So a soybean plant actually has the ability to measure time. So as the daylight or the nighttime gets shorter, they'll move into the reproductive stages. So the thought that a soybean plant can learn to tell time on its own, I think, is just an incredible thought. But they're really incredible. I didn't even get to the good part. We're already down to 10 seconds left. But on corn, whenever you plant corn, it starts to imbibe water. And when you plant a corn seed, the orientation of a corn seed, we can't control that. So it might be pointed up, pointed down in the shoot. Whenever it goes to shoot, if it's pointed down, it can actually tell which direction to go. It'll point itself up, and it'll head up to the surface. When it hits the surface, it'll leaf out, start growing. And there's a lot more that we could go into all this. And if we ever want to talk about farming sometime, I like it. So.
Thanks, Michael.
One time at a family reunion, Michael, he went out and got a corn stalk out of the field and actually gave us a long talk about that. I found it very interesting for myself. And so, thank you, Michael. As I said, you know, that's another part that's amazing of God's creation. Genesis 1 is clear. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God said, "Let the waters separate from the heavens and flow together into one place and to create sea and land." God said, "Let there be night and let there be day." God said, "Let the waters part. Let the waters swarm with fish and other life." God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal." And then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image." That's something that I've never been able to understand. How can someone consider the incredible human body that they are living in and not believe that there is a God that created them? In Psalm 139, verse 13, David writes, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." You know, health is a big thing in life. We know that our bodies are sometimes sore, especially when you get to be over 50 years old. They sometimes fail us, or we experience terrible diseases such as cancer. And we know that we are not created to live here on this earth forever. But think about how incredible our bodies are just to begin with. You know, I could ask some of the nurses or EMTs that are here this morning to come up like Michael did and explain, but I think that would probably take us the rest of this week or longer to try to have someone describe how our bodies work. And then we still probably wouldn't understand it all. The heart, the respiratory system, the digestive system, the skeletal system, the reproductive system. You know, that list can just go on and on. And I didn't even mention the red and white blood cells. The amazing DNA that is different in every human being on this earth. It seems like, you know, as time goes on, we continue to learn more and more about the human body. In some ways, I think that's good. You know, if we can help people to overcome disease and sickness. But maybe we are learning too much in that we are trying to take some things into our own hands that are meant to remain in God's hands. Sometimes as we remember not to take things for granted, we also need to remember that
we are still human. We are not God. We are not the creator. And therefore, we should not take some things into our own hands and do with them as we desire. But going back to how incredible our bodies are created, did you know that the average person's heart will beat over 2.5 billion times in their life without ever taking a break? That's amazing. If you took an adult's blood vessels that I mentioned and you laid them end to end, they would circle the Earth's equator 4 times. That's mind-blowing, really. I mean, speaking of mind-blowing, the human brain, of course, we know, is amazing in itself. I read something this week that said, the human brain, it's been remarked, is the most astonishingly complicated thing in the universe. But then again, it's the human brain that is saying this. There's been a lot of talk recently about, you know, artificial intelligence and the pros and the cons of all of that. But the invention of computers and smartphones and AI and everything else in this world is because of the power and work of the human mind or brain, which was created by who? God, our creator. If it wasn't for the human mind that God created, none of that would be able to function anyway. It wouldn't just, you know, poof, come out of nowhere. And that gets us back to what Scripture proclaims from Genesis to Revelation. God the Creator is to be praised for the wisdom, the creativity, the beauty, and the spectacular world and universe that He has given to us to live in. It is a gift that we should never take for granted, and that we should always care for as He has instructed us in Genesis 1. In verses 27 through 31, the Contemporary English Version says this: so God created humans to be like Himself. He made men and women. God gave them His blessing and said, have a lot of children. Fill the earth with people and bring it under control. Rule over the fish in the ocean, the birds in the sky, and every animal on the earth. It says, I've provided all kinds of fruit and grain for you to eat. I've given the green plants as food for everything else that breathes. These will be food for animals, both wild and tame, and for birds. And in verse 31, it says, God looked at what He had done, and all of it was very good. That's being very humble. I mean, we would say it was great. It was wonderful. It is incredible. And we are blessed beyond measure by it. And that's what I hope we take with us this morning. You know, as we begin to see spring come forth with plants and flowers and the green grass, I hope that we can join Phil Wickham in worshiping our Creator, because He is holy. Earth and heaven sing forever. All creation praises its Creator. And, you know, those are great lines in that song. But I love the part of that song that speaks about our salvation and our eventual home in heaven as believers. It says this: this is my great and everlasting hope. I've been saved, and heaven is my home. I can't wait for that day when I see you face to face, for I was made to magnify my Maker. As incredible as all of this is, it will not even come close to what eternity in heaven holds for us. And for that, we definitely praise God, our Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to save us and to redeem us. To end this morning, I share again this verse from Psalm 104. And this is a great reminder, also a verse from Romans 1. But beginning with Psalm 104, verse 24, says, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. And then in Romans, which we don't often think of Romans as a creation book, Romans 1:20 says this. And I've just kind of read over this before, but it really speaks to creation, gives us evidence of God the Creator. This is what it says. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Because of creation, we have no excuse for not knowing God. Earlier in the service, we sang, "All thy works praise thy name in earth and sky and sea." That was the very first song. And to close the service, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. So let's stand together and join together as we pray. And then after our prayer, we will give thanks to God as we sing How Great Thou Art. Lord God, we are so grateful and thankful for the gift of creation and this earth that you have blessed us with. We are so grateful for you creating each one of us in your image and giving us life and breath. Lord, we are so thankful for the creation that always reminds us of who you are and your power and your glory. Help us, Lord, to never take it for granted. And Lord, help us to be caretakers of what you have blessed us with. Help us to be caretakers of this gift. Help us to be caretakers of our bodies. Help us to be caretakers of the earth. Help us to realize that you have put us here and you have given us rule over these things. And you have commanded us to take care of them and be good stewards of them. So Lord, we give you praise today. We praise you for all of creation, and we are so thankful. Help us, Lord, to not take for granted what you have given to us, and help us to always proclaim how great you are. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.